All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 24, the very last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to just read one verse this morning. I'm going to take this verse and develop the message, the message around this one verse. It is a verse that is found in the account of the two Emmaus Road disciples. I believe that the one here is identified in verse 18. Luke says his name was Cleopas, and then there is a second one, and I think we'll not know till we get to heaven, but I think that this second person was Mrs. Cleopas, and they were in Jerusalem on Resurrection Day. And they were returning home at the end of the day, and they were talking about everything that had happened when the Lord Jesus showed up and walked with them as they were headed home. And of course, they were questioning everything, and the Lord said something very interesting in verse 25. And I want to read verse 25 and then develop my message around that verse. In verse 25, it's the Lord says, the Bible says, "Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, would you just think about what I just read? Think about the words. Look carefully at them. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. What's the next word? All. All. That means everything. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I want us to pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning on the foolishness of unbelief. The foolishness of unbelief. Let's pray together. And then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will help each one of us to see the importance of the word of God this morning. As we look at this statement that was made by our Savior and realize each word and what the emphasis that is placed on their unbelief and how their unbelief was so damaging. And Father, help us to see how unbelief today is rampant and how it is ruining this world that we live in. And Father, we have an eternal Bible, and I pray that you will help us to see the importance of believing what thus saith the Lord and to trust what the Bible has to say. And so, Father, fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak this morning, and give each one listening ears to hear so that we may hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Guide and direct now, Father, and we'll give you praise and glory for what's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, I want to speak to you this morning from this 24th chapter. I have preached from this chapter many, many times through the years. But I want us to look at this 25th verse this morning, and I want to preach from the standpoint of our Lord's rebuke to these two disciples for the unbelief that he saw in their hearts. On that first Easter Sunday, there were so many wonderful things that happened that are recorded for us in this 24th chapter. Of course, our Lord resurrected from the grave 3 days after he was taken from the cross and placed in the borrowed tomb. He resurrected, and that is recorded here in this chapter. Then we have Peter and John as they were going to see the empty tomb for themselves. They had gotten word that Jesus had resurrected, so we have the account where they went and looked inside the tomb. We also see the disciples in this chapter huddling in fear and trembling behind closed doors and locked doors in the upper room, when all of a sudden the Lord Jesus showed up right in their midst. That's also recorded in this chapter. And then, of course, we have this wonderful story that makes up the heart of the chapter, where the Lord joins Cleopas and I presume that it is his wife, the Bible just says another disciple, and walks with them in the way as they were headed back to their house. And then we have the story ending, the chapter ending with these two running back to Jerusalem to report to the disciples what they had just experienced. So there is no doubt that this 24th chapter of the book of Luke is an amazing chapter that is filled with so much wonder and so much excitement. Now, this morning, I want us to focus on how the Lord Jesus exposed and how he rebuked their unbelief. All right, now think of that. That's where the direction that I want us to focus this morning. I want you to notice how the Lord Jesus exposed and rebuked their unbelief. In verse 25, he says to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Folks, that is quite straightforward and to the point. There is no doubt that what he said to these two was a strong rebuke. None of us here would have to get a dictionary to figure out that the Lord Jesus rebuked their unbelief in a strong, convincing, and powerful way. You know, our world is in the awful condition that it's in today because of unbelief. We have about 2.5 to 3 generations of people now who have no faith in God at all. We are a godless society. People want to say, "Oh, we live in Christian America." No, we don't. We live in heathen America. And we are a society that is about 2 or 3 generations now alive who have no biblical concept of God. The worldview of the vast majority of the people on our planet today have no faith in the God of the Bible. We do not believe in our world today that the Bible is the Word of God. We do not have a society today that believes that God created the universe by divine fiat. We do not have a country today that believes in the biblical doctrines of a literal heaven and a literal hell. We don't believe that anymore. We live in a country today that does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God and is the final authority for faith and practice. We don't believe that in America any longer. Our forefathers wrote in the Constitution that our rights as citizens of the United States of America were given to us by God. But people today don't believe in God and instead view our rights as granted by the government. We don't believe in God anymore in this nation, not the God of the Bible anyways. This is where our society has gotten to, and that's why we have all this evolution stuff that's being taught in our schools and in our universities. We don't believe in God creating everything anymore. So you have to have a substitute. You have to have a solution to where we all came from. And so evolution has taken the place of God as our creator. We live in an America that doesn't believe that the God of the Bible created the world and created man. They simply believe that man is the product of the evolutionary process. And folks, this is the reason why the definition of the family can be changed without anyone even batting an eye about it. I mean, there's no authority anymore. Government is now the authority. The world is now the authority. Not what God has to say, not what the Bible has to say. People today don't believe the Bible. They have no knowledge at all of God and what God says, and they could care less what the Bible and what God says about marriage, or what God says about homosexuality, or what God says about all this transgender stuff and all the rest of it. The world doesn't care what God thinks. They don't even blink. They don't give it a minute's thought to care what God has to say about anything. And that's unbelief. And that's our world today. Unbelief, mark this down, folks. Unbelief is the cancer that is destroying the life and the soul of our nation. It is unbelief. Now, I want us to think about the foolishness of unbelief this morning. And I think you can see that foolishness right here in this 25th verse. There are just a few things I want you to see this morning. Number one, from this verse, I want you to see the character of unbelief. The character of unbelief. Cleopas and the other disciple, unnamed, probably his wife, were sternly rebuked for their unbelief. And I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus called them. Jesus said that they were fools because they did not believe the scriptures. Now look carefully at that verse. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus said they were fools because they did not believe the scriptures. Now, if something like this were said in 2015, I think every person in this room would see this as harsh, strong language. You see, we are so easily offended today in our society. I mean, it doesn't take anything. You got to guard every word. You got to protect every thought. I mean, everybody's on edge watching to see how can I be offended today. And that's our society. In this easily offended society of ours today, probably about 99% of us would be greatly offended if someone said to us what the Lord Jesus said to these two disciples on their way to Emmaus. But would you not agree that his character assessment was accurate? You see, Noah Webster, who did the dictionary back in the 1800s and created his English dictionary, letting the Bible define the English language, said this about the word fool. He said, a fool does not listen to reason, but believes what they believe contrary to the evidence. That's a pretty good definition of what a fool is. And the evidence of the Old Testament scriptures was clear. They just didn't believe it. The Bible was clear. Once the Lord Jesus started in Genesis, which is verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So once he started in Genesis and went through the Bible, showing them the pictures and explaining that he was on every page of the Old Testament, their eyes were opened and their unbelief was gone. It was gone. But up to that point, their unbelief put them in the fool category. Now, may I remind you that the Bible is consistent in this area. The psalmist said, not once, but several times, the psalmist said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Today, we live in a world that honors unbelief. I mean, honors foolishness. We live in a world today that absolutely idolizes and makes much of unbelief. A couple of weeks ago, when Ted Cruz declared himself a candidate for president in the next election, I turned the TV on. I was watching Fox News and Neil Cavuto when I got home on that afternoon. And they went live, and Ted Cruz announced that he was declaring himself a candidate for president. And so I thought, well, let me see what others are saying about this. I'm talking minutes after he announced. Minutes. Are you with me? I'm not talking the next day. I'm talking minutes after he announced. So I switched it back to Al CNN. All right, you know what I'm talking about? Al CNN. And I listened to what they had to say. And then I switched it back to MSNBC LSD to see what they were saying. And here's what they were saying. I'm talking minutes after Cruz announced. CNN and NBC said, had people on there, and here's, it was almost like it was a planned, coordinated attack. This was the bullet point that was sent out to all the liberals. This is what we're going to say about Ted Cruz once he announces. And they said this, and I quote, Cruz is not qualified to be the president of the United States because he denies climate change and believes in God. Now, I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it, so I wouldn't misquote him. I wrote it down on an envelope. But that's exactly what they said. Skeptics and unbelievers are given the headlines and given the awards in our world today. And anybody that believes the truth and believes in God and believes in the Bible, they're looked at as some kind of a nut job that cannot be trusted. It's just backwards. I have said for years now, years, and I'm sure it's not original with me. I probably heard it, somebody else say it. But we're living in a world where what's right has become wrong and what's wrong has become right. That's our world today, folks. And unbelief today is honored and it is held high and it is the light is shined upon it. And people that believe in God, people that believe in the Bible are mocked and discredited. Everything's just backwards. Now, let me tell you something, folks. What you're doing this morning, I mean, coming to church, carrying a Bible. Oh, wait a minute, it gets worse. You're carrying a King James Bible. Or if you're not, you ought to be. And sitting here in church letting some hillbilly holler at you for 50 minutes All right, an hour? I mean, what is wrong with you people? You see, you're crazy. That's how the world views you. Something is wrong with you that you would do that. You wackadoodle people who believe what the Bible says. You're just out there. You're not to be trusted. I was reading recently, and I came across something Al Gore said. Of course, you're not going to hear the press. You're not going to hear the press talk about this. But Al Gore made a speech about 2 months ago. Nobody reported on it. But he said this. He said, if you don't believe in man-made global warming, you should have to pay a fine. Really, Al? How about let's just believe what the Bible says? And by the way, folks, I'm going to rattle your cage here. Is it okay if I rattle your cage? Would you hold your place here? Boys, I'm moving on the cameras just so y'all know. I don't want the viewers to think the rapture has happened. Go over to Revelation 16. I was reading something the other day and came unglued when I read it. Revelation 16. All right, I'm back. I wasn't gone very long. Look at Revelation 16. This is talking about the tribulation period. And during the tribulation period, it says in verse 4, and a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of the water, and they became waters, and they became blood. And then down, look at verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy, what's the next word? Judgments. Look at verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to what? Scorch men with fire. And men were scorched. The King James translators have a one beside the word scorched, and they put the word burned. And men were scorched, burned with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible prophesies about the coming global warming. It's not man-made, it's God-made. I don't know if you saw this or not. Probably you didn't, because it wasn't on the mainstream media. But 2 weeks ago, when John Kerry Lurch, made that agreement with Iran and the Ayatollahs, where we're giving them the farm. That's how we used to say it down in West Virginia. Won't you just give the farm away? Well, they did. Just give them everything. They did. And when that agreement was signed, the next day, it got 153 degrees all over Iran. The next day. Don't tell me God's not still on the throne. But it's not man-made global warming. No, it's God saying, hey, people, wake up. This unbelief that you've got, you don't believe me anymore. Listen, there's a character to that unbelief. God says you're a fool if you don't believe him. The evidence is there. There is no way that man could have written this book and put all of the prophecies and all the pictures in there and there not be one error in the whole thing. It must have been of God. But you cannot believe God and be viewed as normal. Not today. You can only be normal if you believe what the unbelieving world believes. But God calls unbelievers fools. The Bible, listen, folks, the Bible is sold in every Walmart in America. The Bible is online and you can download it for free. It is in millions of motel rooms. It is heard on the airwaves. There's probably a Bible in just about every home in America. It's on the airwaves. It's on television. It's on the radio. It's on CD. It's on cassette tape. And yet our world today is filled with fools who believe man's word but not God's word. Second thing I want you to see. We not only see the character of unbelief, but secondly, I want you to see the cause for unbelief. In verse 25, the cause is clearly stated. The Lord Jesus said that that these two were slow of heart. Right there's your cause. Slow of heart. Now that phrase might surprise you a little bit. You might think that the Lord Jesus would have said, "O fools and slow of mind to believe." But I think the Lord Jesus put his finger right on the real cause of unbelief. Let me tell you something, folks. Unbelief, listen to me now, unbelief is a heart problem, not a head problem. People today, and it has been so in every generation, do not believe because they do not want to believe. It is the will, not wisdom, that is the cause of unbelief. In many cases, you know this to be true, intellectualism is a hindrance, and it keeps men away from simple faith. It's a hindrance. But make no mistake about it. It's the will. People do not believe because they do not want to believe. And that's our world today. Now let me illustrate. Several years ago, when I was in the battle with the state of Maryland about taking a license to do what God called us to do. And they said, "You have to have a license." And I said, No, I don't. He said, here's your rule book. I said, "No, thank you. Right here's my rule book. I don't need your rule book. I got my own." And they said, "But you can't do this without our approval." I said, "Listen, I'm not taking your license to run our Christian school. I'm not doing it." And it went from downhill from there. And so we were going toe to toe, nose to nose, down in Annapolis with the department heads. And they were getting angry. And I was getting angry. And after a while, the chairs were shoved away. And both of us were leaning across the table, fingers going. And finally, he looked at me and he said, "We have got to keep a handle on the education." And I said, that's all well and good, but you keep your hands off of my education. I don't want you butting in and telling us how to run our school. And so we went back and forth, and it deteriorated from there. And finally, he made the statement that what they needed was more money. Because my argument was, our kids are doing good, and we don't use your money. We just use the resources that God has blessed us with, and we're doing good. We don't need your help. And so he made the comment, if we only had more money. I stopped him. I said, "Sir, let me ask you, give me a dollar amount. How much more money do you need before you fix the schools in the state of Maryland?" And I told him, I said, "Sir, there is not enough printed money in the world to fix the problems in Maryland schools." He looked at me and said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, it is not a mind problem. It's a heart problem. The problem is the unbelief in the school system. You took God out of the school. We're not taking God out of our school. And I'm not taking your license so that once I've got your sorry old license, that you're going to step in here and say, oh, by the way, you have to take God out of your school. Because then my school becomes just like your school. And then I'm going to need a bunch of money to fix it. Which you'll never have. Because it's not money that fixes it. It's belief that fixes it. It's going back to the Bible that fixes it. Let me tell you something, folks. There's liberals just, they don't see it. They just, and they never will see it. But there's a cause for unbelief. And that cause is slow of heart. Slow of heart. What's wrong with everything today? Is the sinful heart of man. Sinful hearts that have been blinded by sin and blinded by the devil, but belief in God and getting saved from sin, that changes everything. Hold your place here. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me show you what fixes everything. This is what fixes everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Now, don't look at me like that. I didn't write this. Paul did. This is not my opinion. This is Paul's opinion. Don't argue with the apostle. It's in your Bible, and it's pretty clear. Look at verse 11. And such, what's the next word? Were, past tense. And such were some of you. Hey, can we stop right here? Look up here at me. Hey, and such were some of you.
That's right. You're right.
But what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody knocked on your door one day. I tell you what happened. You came to see a living cross one Friday night. I tell you what happened. You came to a revival meeting one night and some old leather lung preacher stood up and told you you were a sinner in need of a Savior. And down that aisle you came, got on your knees and got saved. Amen. And such were some of you. I've said this before, that if you knew the past of the person that is sitting behind you or in front of you or beside of you, instead of sitting in your normal assigned seat every Sunday morning, you might just go move out of their section. But that's what they used to be. It's not what they are today. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, getting saved is what fixes that old unbelief and gets you thinking the right way. Man, I hate to tell you this, but I didn't know any better. I voted for Jimmy Carter. In 1972, I'm terribly sorry, but I voted for Jimmy Carter. I didn't know any better. But I got saved in 1970 and I started to read the Bible and grow. And I can guarantee, told you, I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton. Such were some of you. Unbelief, the change of heart happens when you get saved. Unbelief is a heart problem, folks. And every person believes in something. You believe in something this morning. You either believe in Christ and the gospel, or you are slow of heart to believe, and you are lost in your trespasses and sins. It's just that simple. But make no mistake about it, unbelief is a matter of the heart. And then number three, I want you to see the contempt of unbelief. We see the contempt of unbelief in the last half of this verse where the Lord said, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, folks, unbelief despises the scriptures. That's why people get mad at you when you quote the scriptures to them. I don't like that. Man, that Bible's got some authority. And you go quote, oh, don't go quoting the Bible to me. Why not? You see, you can't argue with the truth. But yet, unbelief despises the scriptures. Unbelief hates the truth of God's eternal word. And the amazing thing is, unbelief, listen to me now. This just down on the farm horse sense right here. Listen to it now. Unbelief will believe just about anything else as long as it's not the Bible. I mean, it's really revealing, and I've seen this now for 39 years. My soul, I've seen this so much. I've seen it so much here, it's unbelievable. It's really revealing. Unbelief shows itself, and I've seen it here so often. Somebody will walk into a service, they'll sit down, and you watch them during the service. And they enjoy the crowd and the fellowship and the music. And then I start reading the text from which I'm going to preach the message that morning. And when I start reading the text, I notice them frantically start looking around. Why? Well, because what I'm reading is not the same thing that's in front of them. You with me? They don't have the same Bible I do. And then I start preaching. Now, I don't know what they're expecting. I really don't. This is all I know. Come to church and preach for 40 minutes. Okay, 50 minutes. That's all I know. That's all I've ever done. You all have never walked in here and either me or somebody else didn't say, open your Bible. I mean, that's just what we do. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You know, and if all we did was just come and share opinions, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't come. Because after a while, you know, that would get old. But every time you come, what do? Open your Bible. And I try to give you something from the Bible. And it's really revealing when after 10 minutes or so, after I start preaching, you can look into their faces and realize that this was not what they were expecting to hear. And you've noticed it. I've noticed it. A lot of them get up about 10, 15 minutes into the message, boop, out the door they go. Why? Because they're not saved. They don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. They don't believe God has the answers. Oh, they will swallow the whole global warming lie. Oh, they're all over that. But what they did was they read that in the newspaper. So they believe that. They saw that on Fox News. So they'll believe that. So they have no problem believing what the ungodly media has to say. They don't have any problem believing the ungodly media reports, but they won't believe God's report. They're not interested in that. And when confronted with the truth of God's word, what do? They get angry. They get angry. And they don't want to hear. So they'll just get up and leave. Let me tell you something, folks. There's nothing wrong with any of us that believing wouldn't fix. Can I say that again? There is nothing wrong with any of us but what believing wouldn't fix. And the Lord Jesus rebuked these two disciples because they were slow to believe what was written by the Holy Ghost-inspired prophets in the Word of God. Do you not get the feeling that the Lord Jesus expects us to believe the Bible? Is it no wonder the devil does everything he can to keep us from reading the Bible? We're just to believe every word. When the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth, just believe it. When the Bible says salvation is by grace through faith, quit trying to work your way to the pearly gates and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible says Jesus is coming again, hey, believe it. He's coming again. The world, I think, is going to be surprised when the Lord comes back. Because the world, they don't know anything about this. And man, when that trumpet sounds and millions of Christians are gone, can you imagine Fox News the next day trying to explain this? Man, I'm going to put my DVR on the record real quick. And then, so 7 years later, I just want to see what they had to say about this. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Where'd all these people go? Where'd they all go? How could they just disappear like that? And I can see the New York Slimes the next day. And they got the Fox News and CNN. They got their panel of experts before the camera. And somebody else said, well, there are some people that say that what happened here is what all those Bible thumpers, those Christians used to call the rapture of the church, where Jesus comes to get his church and take him to heaven. But we all know the Bible's not true. It's a bunch of myths and fables. So that can't be it. So it is our opinion. And then here they go. You ever notice all the stories about alien cultures? They think there's life on Mars now. Story yesterday, and it said in that our closest star, Alpha Centauri, could. Well, they don't know for sure, but it could have planets just like Earth. And there could be people on those planets. There was a big story last week, circulated all over Europe, that the world is basically like a video game. And that we're just all players in the game. And there's this master being somewhere, a bunch of them, and they just sit with controllers and manipulate us to do their bidding. And people everywhere reading it going, how could we believe that stuff? Because we don't believe that book. If you don't stand for the Bible, you'll fall for anything. And that's the world we live in. That's our world, folks. Vance Havner used to say that those people who believe the Bible is a myth are myth-taken and mithrable. That's good, isn't it? If you don't believe the Bible is the word, if you believe it's a myth, you're mithrable and myth-taken. And the sad thing is, they will continue their rejection of the Word of God and will end up clinging to it until they are cast into the lake of fire. I read that for you a moment ago in Revelation 16. Folks, right here's the cure for unbelief. Right here. Get in your book. Read it. Learn it. Love it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Last Wednesday night a week ago, I'll close with this. I preached down outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was a missionary, young man, about 30 years of age, from Trinidad and Tobago. And this young man, couldn't have been more than 30 years of age. The pastor got up and he said, after the offering, he said, "I'm going to ask Sister so-and-so to come and sing. And when she finishes singing," and he pointed to the brother from Trinidad, and he said, "Brother, I want you to come. And then after you sit down, Dr. Belcher will come and preach to us." And he introduced me. And so the girl came up and did her song. And she finished, she went and sat down. This young man got up, humble, didn't say a word, didn't no expression. He stood up and he walked to the front. And I thought, well, what's he going to do? I was sitting over here on this side. And I thought, well, what's he going to do? And little did I know what he was going to do. He walked up from behind, stood behind the pulpit, and he said, "I would like to, at this time, recite for you Revelation chapter 5. And I thought, what? And then he just started in verse 1. And he quoted Revelation 5. I quickly turned in my Bible to Revelation chapter 5 and opened it up. And I listened as he quoted this chapter verbatim. He did not make one mistake, not one. Not one. And as he got down to verse 4, where it says, "And I wept much," I started weeping. He just kept quoting, and he said, "I wept much because there was no man found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And he kept quoting. And he got down to where it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb." And man, when he was quoting that, I just sat there, tears streaming down my face. I thought, man, if I can't preach after this, God didn't call me. That's all there is to it. And I looked around to see if anybody else was getting in on the action. And when I turned around and looked at that crowd, there was not a dry eye in the place. Why? Because the Bible cures our unbelief. Those folks were ready for preaching when he finished quoting Revelation chapter 5. Now, folks, here's the point. Turn the TV off and get in a book. Get off of book face for a little while and get in a book. Get off your Twitter account. Nobody really cares that you went to Starbucks anyway. I hate to tell you that, but nobody gives a flip. Get off of Twitter and get in the book. Make up your mind that you're going to know the God of this Bible. Oh, there's foolishness in unbelief. Foolishness. And not a one of us wants to be found foolish. God help us to get in the book.